Transformation of America by Mark Phillips and Kathy O'Brien. Chapter 28, Free Trade of Drugs and Slaves at the Juarez Border. The next day, Dante drove me to a Bel Air mansion high on a hill where another party was underway. As I joined those who had gathered on the manicured lawn, I recognized many of the same mafia people who had been at the Malibu retreat, also known as Hotel California. This was a welcome party for President Reagan, who had just arrived. He was walking across the yard toward me with his friend Jack Valenti, who was the president of the powerful Motion Picture Association of America. Reagan looked his role amongst his mobster friends, his beige girl with fur collar draped over his shoulders revealing a dark gray, pinstripe suit underneath. In retrospect, I remember him as dressed like the one mobster I did not have to meet, John Gotti. As soon as my eyes met his, I was knocked to the ground by a familiar blue-white blast, high voltage, like the one I had recently experienced in DC. When I came back around and my eyes refocused, Dante was holding me up. Reagan said, "Well, hello, kitten. Uncle Ronnie, how'd you get here?" I asked in childlike innocence. "The rainbow, kitten, the rainbow," he answered in unscriptic. "I told you I was coming home. There's no place like home, and you said it with me. So, here we are. I keep a little piece of the rainbow in my pocket so I can get back over it, to DC. Anytime I want to. I make a wish, and click my heels, and I'm gone." For the moment, Reagan succeeded in confusing my mind with unscriptic metaphors, reconfirming to my child personality that he was indeed the powerful wizard. As we went inside for a brief meeting, my personality was deliberately switched to the one that had dealt with De La Madrid the night before. The gray-white stucco house was decorated in plush presidential blue carpeting and deep, cherry wood tones. The office was small and further crowded by those of us present for the meeting. De La Madrid was comfortably seated, as was Jack Valenti. I was not privy to Valenti's exact role in opening the Juarez border. I only know that he was well educated low the particulars of this meeting. Dante and I remained standing since we would be leaving as quickly as I heard what Reagan, who was shuttling papers and pacing the room, had to say. "Well, kitten," Reagan said to me, "this is your death sentence. You'll go out a blaze of glory." I was not surprised to receive confirmation of my imminent death by Reagan. I had heard about death by fire from seemingly everyone involved in establishing free trade through Mexico of our nation's children for drugs. Reagan's use of patriotic metaphors and puns while matter-of-factly informing me he ordered my death was reflective of his often displayed lack of respect for human life. What reflected his character even more were the crimes he was involved in that prompted him to cover up through sentencing me to death. I had witnessed the criminal foundations of NAFTA, which in turn could threaten the successful implementation of the New World Order should these secrets ever be revealed. Initial free trade, including drugs and white slavery, extended beyond the U.S.-Mexican border. It rooted U.S. traumatized, robotic, mind-controlled children into Saudi Arabia, while building up weapon stockpiles in Nicaragua and Iraq. Although I was considered to be no threat, predicated on the erroneous belief that I could not be deprogrammed to regain my memory of these events, my death would provide extra insurance to those involved. I was nearly used up, anyway, and recording my death via snuff film was agreed upon as proof to De La Madrid and other leaders at risk that I had indeed been silenced through death. I could not think to respond to Reagan's death sentence. Dante wanted to make sure I grasped the point as he graphically expounded. "The next time I ignite your sexual flame, baby, it will consume you, body and soul. And you will burn, baby, burn. And I'll take your ashes and scatter them to the wind. I am going to blow you away. On film." Upon hearing something cryptic to which he could relate, Valenti laughed at Dante's twist of words. Referring to the old, porn, blue pencil editing term, blue movies, he added, blue blazes. Dante laughed with him, we'll call it who in blue blazes was that? Or, how about Grimet? De La Madrid noticed Reagan was not laughing and said, that's like erasing a Mercedes to film a stunt. He leaned forward in his chair closer to Reagan, lowered his voice and said, it is my desire to have Seven just like her roll off the assembly line and shipped to me prior to the agreement's completion. Reagan agreed, responding, those blonde-haired, blue-eyed, fine kids on the relay to Saudi Arabia are top of the line, but they don't have what she's got. Two-faced ones are hard to come by, De La Madrid quipped, referring to my vaginal mutilation and presidential programming code. He cut his eyes over to me, touched himself and cryptically continued, from one perspective, anyway. And I like having one I can count on. Reagan chuckled while Dante shifted his feet and unfolded his arms long enough to cough laugh. Valenti seemed to be bored of clichés or was missing many of the cryptic double meanings. But judging from the tone of the meeting, that was just as well. I'll mention it to Bobby, Bird, and delegate your order to him, Reagan told his Mexican counterpart. It should be relatively simple to slip one in for you every few shipments or so once the Juarez border is open to such free trade activities as planned. Reagan spoke as though he were distracted and thinking of something else, even when he looked my direction. If you please, sir, I began, I have the presidential seal of approval and am prepared to fulfill my role. Dante looked at his watch, aware that I was scheduled to be at the Juarez border by the stroke of midnight. Reagan walked over to see the paper I had received from De La Madrid the night before. Okay. Well, farewell. Kitten, Reagan said, as he kissed my cheek. He added in unscriptic, I'll see you on the other side of the rainbow in DC. Click your heels. My world spun black. Someone had hit me with a powerful stun gun and I was down, feeling as though Dante was half dragging me as he led me to his car, which was already idling in the circular drive. We soon pulled up to the motorhome at the gas station on Hollywood Boulevard, where he had picked Kelly and me up several days before. Kelly was already in the motorhome, vomiting sick and horribly traumatized. She had been convinced by someone that I had been killed. Houston attempted to create a hypnotically induced time slip, acting as though I had only been gone a few minutes. We drove quickly, stopping only for fuel in order that I be in Juarez at the appointed time. The RI robotically presented the presidential seal of approval to the proper officials as programmed, officially opening the border to free trade of crimes against humanity. Houston and I had hurried across the Juarez border where we were met by the Mexican official in charge. The guard looked to be in his late 40s, with classic, rugged, Mexican features. He stood approximately 5'11", had black hair, an unkempt mustache, black beady eyes and a paunchy belly protruding over his short, squat legs. He spoke excitedly in Spanish, with a harsh, cold loan to his voice as he spit out the necessary words in English. Give me the seal, he snapped his fingers, impatiently hurrying me. He took the presidential seal and knocked me face down on top of a small, barren metal desk while he closely inspected the document. Even Houston was unusually quiet while this particular uniformed guard paced the small tower room, sweating profusely while he talked on his walkie-talkie. Finally, he accessed and verified the bank transaction codes provided through whom he said was George Bush, Jr. He concluded the encounter by taking a stun gun from his belt and jolting me with it, supposedly to erase my memory. I was nauseated and weak from high voltage and the ordeal as Houston and I made our way back across the border. My empty stomach rolled, prompting Houston to lie, I told you not to drink the water. In reality, I had had nothing to drink since the champagne at the Hotel California, and I hadn't eaten in days. I was thoroughly exhausted when we reached the motorhome in El Paso, but Houston was sexually aroused from cocaine and the criminal events that merged Mexico with the U.S. At the Juarez border,